The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Trua Mikro Kedush. It shall be a day of blowing of the shofar, a day which is sanctified. Kol Meleches Avodah Leisasu. You shall not do any works. Be Krafti Mishel Hashem, and you shall bring the sacrifice to Hashem. Here the Torah tells us that we are obligated to keep the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah on the first day of the seventh month, which is Kodesh Tishrei. Now the source of Rosh Hashanah is from the creation of the world. It celebrates Hayom Haras Olam. It celebrates the creation of the world. And one can ask here, why therefore does it say on the seventh month? If the world was created in Tishrei, as in accordance to one opinion in the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, then that was the first month. And even according to the second opinion, that the world was created in Nisan, except Kodesh Baruch Hu decided to create the world in Tishrei. And this is why we keep Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei. The emphasis here should be placed that Tishrei is the first month. We count from Nisan. Nisan is considered the first month to Klal Yisrael. So therefore Tishrei is the seventh. But it is somewhat strange when the Torah is telling us to keep Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the year, that it should refer to Tishrei as the seventh month. The Medrash Rabbah goes into this. And the Medrash here on Parshas Emor, Parsha Choftes, Ostes, Kol Ashvin Chavivin La'ilon. The seventh is always special and dear to the Almighty. L'malan Ashvi Chavivsh. We see in the heavens the seventh is special, because there are seven dimensions to the heavens. Shomayim, Shemei Ashomayim, Rokia, Shchokim, Zvul, Ma'on, Ve'arovis. And the highest dimension is the seventh. Ve'arot says, then the Medrash continues, there are seven dimensions in the land, and the most dear is the seventh. There were seven dimensions in generations, and the most dear was the seventh. In the Oves, from all of the Oves, there were seven. Abraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram, Meisha. Umeisha, Olel Elakim. And Meisha is the one who went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to receive the Torah. He was the seventh. In the sons, there were seven. In the kings, there were seven. In the years, the seventh is the most special. Ashvis tishmeteno unetashto. The seventh year you shall sanctify. Bishmitim, in the cycles of 7 years, the seventh is the most choshuv. Bikidashtem eshnasa chamishim, after seven cycles of shmitos, you shall sanctify the seventh, the 50th year. Biyomim shvi choliv, in the days the seventh is most dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayevorech Elokim Hashem HaShvi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the seventh day. Vachedesh Shvi Choviv, and in the months, the seventh is the most sanctified. Shnemar, as it states in our posuk, Vachodesh HaShvi Be'echad L'chodesh, that on the seventh month, in the first of the month, you shall make this Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. So we see that it was not by mere coincidence that Rosh Hashanah was to take place in Tishrei. And Tishrei, even though it might be the first month, it is also considered the seventh month, because we count from Nisan. And it is not by mere coincidence that the Torah here exemplifies emphasizes that Rosh Hashanah should take place in the seventh month. Let's try to understand what this means. We have a principle from the Maral Miprag, where he writes in many places what the definition of seven is, why is it so special. And this is because the Almighty created this world in 6 days. And therefore, it wasn't merely that it took him 6 days to create the world. He could have created the same world in one day. But in creating the world in 7 days, he created six dimensions in the physical world. And therefore, the structure and the makeup of the physical world is a six-level dimensioned world. This is why we find that if you will take a physical object, the most complete size that you'll ever find is six, the perfect cube. Because nothing can be more than six complete dimensions. Then we find that the Almighty created the world to come, Olam Haba, the spiritual world, which is far removed from the physical world. And on that the Torah tells us, Kibitzkots Hashem Tzur Elamim, that with the letter Yud of his name, he created the world to come. The He was with this world, and the Yud was the next world. And Yud represents, which is the Mispor Asora, the number 10. And we find many places in the Torah tells us, Vaasiri Yehakodush, the tenth shall be sanctified. When a person has his cattle and his sheep, he shall sanctify the tenth. When he gives from his crops, a tenth shall be sanctified. This was the mention of the world to come. And this is something far removed from the physical world. Just as the letter Yud physically does not have any dimension in it. It is not a line horizontally, or is it a line vertically, but can be written merely as a dot, as a nakuda. Then we see that the Almighty created Shabbos. Shabbos was on the seventh day. And we find the phenomena in Shabbos. Shabbos was after the Yemei HaMelacha, after the days of the work of the physical world. But at the same time, it's considered part of the Ma'aseh Bereishis, part of the creation. As it states, Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'oretz B'yem Hashvi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the work on the seventh day. And this dimension of seven was to join these two worlds. That something should have roots in this world and also reach to the next world. And this is the great sanctity and the great Kiddush of Shabbos. Shabbos is part of the Ma'aseh Bereishis. Yet it was created after the Ma'aseh Bereishis. It is beyond this world, yet it is part of this world. And therefore it joins the two worlds together. And this is why the Gemara says that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos has a similarity, a likeness to the world to come. And this we have spoken at length in the past. So this is what the dimension seven means. question here is, we can understand then why Shabbos is on the seventh day. But why should Rosh Hashanah be in the seventh month? What does Rosh Hashanah have to do with this? In the Sefer Gevuras Hashem, Perek Mem Vov, the Maral explains what is the essence of Rosh Hashanah. Hu ba meshu hu yizborach melech v'odin ha'olam shigesh le'olam mayle yiseyre me'eid me'eid. Rosh Hashanah is the manifestation of the majesty of the Almighty. As we're aware of, we declare the Malchus, the majesty and the kingship of the Almighty. It was on Rosh Hashanah when He created the first man and He became the king of the world. And it is on Rosh Hashanah that He renews this kingship and majesty to the world. How does He do this? Because Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara tells us, is the Yom HaMishpat, the Melech HaMishpat, when Kol Boi Olam Mavirin Lefonot, He calls before Him, Himself, all of the creations of the world to judge them and to give out to them their due portions, their rewards and their portions for the next year, and to take them to task for their misdeeds. It is through this that He manifests His Malchus, His majesty, into the world. If the world was merely created by the Almighty, but He would not judge the world, He would not visit in the world or take care of its needs, then the Almighty's majesty would not be apparent here. But from the fact that He calls it to order and calls it to task every year, so this is the Hisgalus, the revelation of His kingship. And because of this, the world elevates itself into a higher degree, a higher dimension, because now it is bound to a king and to the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, to the King of all kings. If this would not be true, then the world would be very far from the Almighty. But from the fact that He renews His majesty each year, this elevates and uplifts the world, where the world again has a king, and the king calls all of his subjects to order. And the time for this revelation of this Malchus, of this kingship, is on Rosh Hashanah. Because of this, the world has a great mila, a great elevation. And therefore, the month of Tishrei was chosen, because the month of Tishrei is the seventh month. And the seventh month, seventh, is the dimension of the uplifting of something from this world to attach itself to something which is beyond this world. These are very deep concepts, and there is much, very much, that we can learn from here. This means that just as the seventh day uplifts the world and brings it close to the next world, so does the seventh month uplifts the world and brings it close to the Almighty. Because he becomes the king of the world, the world follows him and elevates itself and receives this Kedushas HaMalchus, the sanctity of this majesty. What we can learn from this is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, that implants his majesty in the world, this means that he implants his emblem in the entire creation. Just as we find that a nation without a king is not a nation. There is no unity, there is no direction, there is no leadership. The Gemara also tells us, Ein melech b'layam, a king without a nation is also not a king. Because a king must have an entity in which to implant his majesty in. There must be a place for the expression of the king. And if he has no nation, this the Gemara says, then it's impossible for one to be a king. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he implanted his malchus, his kingship, his emblem into the world, into the entire world, and into all of the creations of the world. Just as a king who puts his royal seal on everything that officially belongs to the king, he has the royal emblem on what belongs to the state, so did the Almighty when he created the world. Because he's the world's king and his majesty is not, has not departed from the world but is there all the time, he has placed his emblem and his royal seal in all of the parts of the creation. Let's go into this a little more. The Gemara tells us that from everything that the Almighty created, Le'nivra dover echod levatolo, there is not one thing in this world that was created in vain. This statement does not only mean to teach us that everything in the world has a purpose, but it means to teach us much more. That since the one who created the world is perfect, then his fruits also must be perfect. And therefore everything in this world must be perfect. And therefore we cannot find anything that was created levatolo in vain. If we do find, for example, imperfections in the world, this did not come from the Almighty's handiwork, but rather this came from man's destructive handiwork, as we'll see later on. Or perhaps because the world was limited and could not receive his majesty in full. The Gemara tells us, it's a Mishnah, Kol ma shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu lebora ela lichvedoi, everything that the Almighty created was created for his honor. This means that everything testifies to the Almighty's majesty. Everything is an aid, a testimony. Just like something that belongs to the king and has a royal seal on it. This is a testimony that it belongs to that king. Everything in the world testifies and declares the majesty of the Almighty. And in this, we could go on endlessly to cite examples of the great wisdom of the creation. From the greatest miracles of astronomy, of the sun and the moon and the planets, we find equal miracles in the smallest creatures. We find that just like in the great creations, everything is a world by itself, so do we find in the most smallest creatures and in the most smallest cells that everything has a makeup that is so complex that it challenges and it's beyond the greatest wisdom of mankind. There is nothing that is found in this world that when scientifically analyzed is not found a makeup, a structure which is unbelievable and beyond man's comprehension, to the point where man cannot duplicate even the smallest creations of the Almighty. And this is his seal that he has placed in the world. This is his seal that he placed in the creations. That if someone would examine it, he could recognize the master that created it. Just like if someone would examine a Rembrandt painting, an expert in the field, he would immediately recognize that only one painter in the world could have created this. And if someone who would examine a beautiful gold piece, expert could immediately recognize that this is the fruits of only that great skilled master. So, when an expert will examine the world, and not necessarily the sun or the moon, but one single muscle of the body, one tooth of the mouth, one blood vessel, one insect, one apple, the expert can recognize that this is the handiwork of only one power, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the King of all kings. And this goes through the Bria, through the creation, from beginning to end, without one exception. Le'nivra dovarecha levatolo, of the multitudes, of the myriads of what is found in this world, not one thing can be found in vain. There was an expert, a very great man, who examined the world. And from here he recognized who the master of this work was. And this the Gemara tells us, Avraham Avinu, Abraham. He had no teacher. He had no colleagues. No one ever taught him of the Almighty or of his Torah. In fact, he was living amongst idolaters. His father was an idolater, and he served together with them. But with his great intellectual powers and his gigantic soul, he examined every possible part of the creation and constantly recognized that the patent, the seal of the same person is emblazed on every part of creation, and came to the revolutionary discovery that all idols are false, all alien powers are false, and there is one king, and his majesty runs through the entire creation. Histakel bebiro, v'hiker bal habiro. Avraham examined the palace, and from the palace he discovered who the king must be. And even more, when the Almighty created the world, first he created the Torah. Mara tells us that the Torah was created over 900 generations before the world. And the Torah was the master plan of every part of the creation, from the most fundamental, elementary part of the physical world to the greatest extremes of the spiritual world. Ubi istakel ubora alma. Then the Almighty looked into the Torah, which was the architectural plan of the world, and from there he created the world. Accordingly, if there would be then an expert that could examine every molecule, every atom, not only would he recognize who the master is that created this, but from here also he would recognize the master plan. An architect can draw a plan, and from the plan we can comprehend a building. A great expert can look at the building, and from there he can envisage the plan. And this, the Gemara says, is Al Avraham came upon the wisdom of the Torah. Avraham was Mekayim Taryag Mitzvahs. He fulfilled the 613 mitzvahs, even though no one ever taught him Torah. By studying every part of the creation, from there he was able to have such a penetrating insight into its source that it went into the Torah and then to the Almighty. He stakled bebiro, he looked into the palace, v'hiker bal habiro. And from there, he recognized the master of the palace. The Tehillim is full with the praises of David HaMelech, of the great wonders, of the handiwork of the Almighty. Mone mispo lakechovim lechulam shemesh ikro, of the myriads of stars which are found in the heavenly fields. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only created each one and not only organized each one, but each one he calls to order, and each one he has given another name to. Godol Adonainu Varav Kayach. power of the king is so great that it is impossible to comprehend his great wisdom. Ma godlu ma'asecho Hashem. How great are the handiworks of the Almighty. Me'od omku machshveisecho. Your thoughts are indeed exceedingly deep. Ish ba'a le'yedo uksil yovin azois. But the barren person does not understand this. And the fool does not understand this. Everything in the world testifies to his majesty. Sorry. Shouts out and declares the handiwork of the Creator. But one must be wise to discern this. The fool cannot understand this. It is for this reason, for example, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, Hareya Pri Chodosh, or Pri Noeh, that if a person sees a beautiful fruit, and he does not partake from it, he will be called to task for it. What did he do wrong? So he saw a fruit, so he didn't eat it. What did he do wrong? If a king gives a gift to a person, and not just a gift, but a gift that has so much perfection in it that it would be impossible for all of the minds of the world to create this fruit, and he throws it back at him, the king would put him to death. And if a fruit is given to a person and does not partake from it, he will have to answer for it. And so is it with every facet of the creation. There are those who are amongst the fools that King David is referring to, that they like to see what they refer to as miracles. They are always looking for miracles. Some type of supernatural phenomena. Some type of deviation. Of a shinui min hateva. A deviation from nature. Their heart gladdens. They become excited. When all of a sudden, something in the world will happen which should not happen. And this is something great. The Gemara challenges that. And even though there are times when supernatural miracles happen, the Gemara tells us the greatest miracles are the Maaseh Bereishis. What the Almighty created during the 7 days of creation. Morim Sochim says, Kuf Yud Ches, Koshim is a Nesav Shalodom Ki Kriyas Yamsuf. The everyday sustenance of man, how he receives his food, how it nourishes him, how it keeps him alive, that's as great as the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea. What are you running after deviations from the world for? When the majesty of the Almighty is in the everyday life. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, in Bamei Madlikim, the second perek, Mandi Omar, Shemen Yadlik, Yemer Chemetz Yadlik. If you would take vinegar and you would place it in a candle, a flame, and if it would burn all night, it would be declared a miracle. And this is the Gemara says, fools. And if you take oil and put it in a candle and it burns all night, this is any less of a miracle? Can you make something from nothing that will be a fuel, a source of energy? The one who has decreed in his wisdom that oil should burn, and if he would decree that vinegar would burn, it would be a greater miracle. And it's for this reason that the Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet. And when he prophesied, he didn't prophesy like the other prophets who would declare when there would be deviations from the nature, when there would be these great so-called miracles. But Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied the Torah. And the Torah is the source of this world and the next world in its everyday ongoing system. This is far greater than the others. And the Rambam brings in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, Perek Beis, Behei Aichi Aderech La'avosoi V'yirosoi. What is the way that a person can come to love the Almighty and to fear Him? B'shor she'yizbeinen o'odem b'maisov. When a person will examine and study his handiwork, u'bruayv, and his creations, hanifloim hagdolim, his wondrous, wondrous creations, and he will see wisdom in these creations that are unlimited. Immediately he loves and praises. And has an unquenchable desire to know the Master, the Maker of this world. Kimesha Amar David, like King David said, Tzoma Nafshi Lelokim Lekel Chai. My soul is thirsty to know the living God. And this is the purpose why the sages have commanded us in the brochas of Shvach V'Hidor, in the brochas to give praise to the Almighty on the everyday wonders of the world. And on the Birchas HaNe'anim, and to give praise to the Almighty before we partake from this world, in order that we should recognize and declare to ourselves what great miracles these are, where this all comes from. From these words, this is a great condemnation of those people who are always seeking some type of supernatural deviation from the nature in order to recognize the Almighty, and to the other extreme, to those who deny the existence of the Almighty, to those who claim that there is no Almighty, the world created itself, the evolutionists, and other such theories. And these are the Ksilim and the Ishbar, those who do not have sufficient intelligence and soul to comprehend that the King's seal has been placed on every particle of this world. Even though the Almighty placed His seal on every particle, He did not do it equally. But He showed more grace towards some creations than others. And this the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Oves, Perek Shlishi, Mishnah Yud Dalet, Hu Haya Eimer, Rabbi Kiva said, Choviv Odom Shenivro Betzelem, from all of the creations of the world, man was endeared. There the Almighty not only placed His seal in him, but He created him from His own image. He showed him a special love that He gave from His own image to him. The king places His royal seal on all of His property. But here the Almighty gave part of Himself to man. As it states in the Torah, that He made man from His own image. Chavivin Yisrael shenikru bonim. This is His man in general. Now, there were others that He showed even greater endearment to. And this is Yisrael, because He called them bonim, the sons, bonim lamokim. Chiba Yisera Neidas Lehem Shenikro Bonim Lamokem Shenem Arbonim Hashem Atem Lashem Elekechem. You are sons to the Almighty God. Chavivin Yisrael Shenosan Lehem Klichemdo. Special endearment. He separated Israel from all of the other nations to give them His Torah. I have given you my portion of good. Torosi al ta'azovu, do not forsake my Torah. Now what does this mean? That man was separated from the rest of the world and He gave to him from His image alone. B'tzelem Elokim. Very concisely. What this means, the Bral explains in various places. The Almighty has an essence, but it is not physical. This essence, part of this essence, He gave to man, but in a physical form. For example, The Almighty is a king. The kingship of the Almighty is not a physical concept. If you would explain to a child the concept of kingship, the concept of a ruler, the concept of a monarch, and tell the child, draw a picture of what I'm telling you, so the child will draw a physical concept. What would he draw? How would he describe a monarch, a ruler? He would draw all kinds of things which are bowing down, and then a figure which is upright. A figure which is upright, which towers over everything else. And this would be the physical concept of a king. So did the Almighty do. Everything that was created in this world was created to walk bowing down. And man was created to walk upright. This is not a human element. This is the element of the Almighty's kingship. Another example. The attribute of the Almighty, the Gemara tells us, is truth. Explain a child the concept of truth. And then tell him to draw a picture of it. How would we explain it to the child? Truth is something which is straight. Does not deviate to the right. Does not deviate to the left. Otherwise it's sheker. But it must be straight. It must be yosher. So the child would draw a straight line. That's taking the spiritual concept and clothing it in the physical world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give to man Chibur Yisera, a special endearment. He wanted to give to him from his own essence. And one of the elements of his essence is truth. So he created man physically with the concept of truth. And therefore he was created upright. And so can every part of the human body be examined. And from here we can learn the essence of the Almighty. How do we know this? The Gemara tells us this. The Gemara at the end of Masechet Makos. We shouldn't make an error. We shouldn't think that man is spiritual because of his soul, but the physical body of man has nothing to do with the spiritual world. Not so. The Gemara tells us at the end of Makos, Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs were created, and 613 parts of the human body were created. All of the mitzvahs essays, 365, all correlate with 365 particular parts of the human body. All of the negative commandments, 248, all correlate with 248 other parts of the body. So we see that when man was created B'Tselem Elohim in the image of the Almighty, we are not speaking only of spiritual man, we are speaking of physical man. And this is what Iyuv wrote. In Iyuv Yutes, Umipsori Echse Eleka. Through my flesh I can comprehend and see the Almighty. That if one is a chochem, he can examine every part of the human body, and from there not only see the emblem of the Almighty, like every part of creation carries, but even see the Almighty himself, the tselem, the mus, the actual essence of the Almighty that was handed down to man. Why was this Chiba Yisera, the special endearment, given to man? This goes even further. Because the Almighty not only brought his majesty to this world, but he imbued part of his majesty to man himself. And he made man Melech B'tachtonim, the king of this world. Vayirdu B'dgas Hayom, the Almighty told Adam HaRishon, the first man, you shall rule over this world. You shall be the king of this world, the ruler. And therefore, not that man was made a king, but part of his majesty himself he imbued in man. And therefore he gave from himself the tselem, the tzalmeinu bidmuseinu, that we shall create man in our own image. This is what the Almighty said. Yisrael, these people were chosen even more so than the rest of the world. And he imbued in them even more than the rest of the world. And this the Almighty told Yaakov Avinu, if man is the king of this world, you shall be the king over all of the kings of this world. You shall be the king over man. Unasati elyain mikol goye oretz. Saticho, I shall make you and your seed the empire, the kingship over all of the nations of the world. And therefore Yisrael was imbued with even more of his image. And his name was emblazoned in Yisrael. The name Yisrael has the name of the Almighty himself. Venosati lochem klichemdo, and I gave to them my greatest possession, that of the Torah. There's another element also of the image of the Almighty that he gave to man. And this, the sages teach us, the or, the light. He gave to man a light which is not found by any other creation, not found by any other living being in the world. Man has a ziv, a shine, a light. And this light was given only to man. And this is part of the Or Hashem, the image of the Almighty. And this light basically is found on the face of man. This is what the Gemara tells us. Brings from the Pasuk, Chochmas Odom Teyar Pono, the wisdom of man, the spirituality of man can be physically recognized from the glow and the shine on his face. And this represents his malchus, his kingship in this world. And the Gemara tells us a very interesting thing. The Gemara Baba Basra Nun Ches Omar Aleph. Nistakalti b'shtei Yaakovav shel Adam HaRishon. When the Almighty created Adam HaRishon, the first man, actually, we are kings in this world. This is why we go upright. But we're really not that big. We're really not that strong. This is not how we were meant to be. The Torah tells us that Adam HaRishon was Mino Oretz Ad Kseh HaShomayim. Adam HaRishon was a giant whose head reached into the heavens. And he could see from one end of the world to the other. This is the type of majesty and kingship that Adam was given. And the Gemara says, "Niskatkalti b'shnei akovov shel Adam HaRishon v'hoyu kishnei galglei chama." That if you would gaze at the two heels of Adam HaRishon, the light was so intense and great that it looked like two suns. The light that came from his heels were as intense as two suns. Why is this? The Maral explains. The heel is the part of man which is the most furthest from his face. So there should be the least amount of shine. And Adam HaRishon was such a melech, such a king, that the light which was imbued in him, even from his two heels, were equivalent to the sun twice. What happened? Nismayet machmas chateseinu. Adam HaRishon was chater. He transgressed. He forsook the laws of the Almighty. He forsook the laws of the Almighty. Vinismayet the Musa. And he lost part of his empire. And his light vanished. Only remained on his face. And his great height and strength were minimized. And this is what the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Pei Dalet Aleph, Shufrei de Yaakov ki Shufrei de Adam HaRishon. The shine and the glow and the beauty of Yaakov Avinu resembled that of Adam HaRishon, the first man. Because Yaakov also was the king. He was the king of Yisrael. And Yisrael are the kings of all of the nations. Therefore he resembled first man. And from here we see a great phenomenon, the Gemara tells us. When a man dies, his face becomes white, colorless. Because Botel Malchusa, when he dies, no longer is he upright. He falls. This is a symbol that his empire, his sovereignty has ended. Not in the next world. Soul lives on in the next world. But in this world, his empire has ended. And therefore he lays down, no longer as a king, but as a subject. There'll be a time when every knee shall bow to me, the Almighty says. This is the day when one departs from this world. And since his sovereignty ceases, so does this glow cease. Returns to the Almighty. And the Gemara says a wonderful thing. Og Melech HaBoshon, Mace. Og, who was the great king of Boshon, who was a giant, who was someone with abnormal strength. If he dies, Tzorech L'Shomrei Mino Achborim, you have to guard him from the mice, that the rodent should not eat his body. How is it that this great giant that terrified the world, but he must be guarded even from the rodents. Tinaik ben Yoima, the Chai, But a child that's one day and is living, you do not have to guard him from the rodents. Because when Og died, and the image of the Almighty left him, no longer was he a king in this world. And therefore no one feared him, not even the rodents. But a child that's one day old, he is a king. He has the image of the Almighty. And therefore the creations fear him. Ein sorach l'shomrei min ha'achborim. This is a Gemara. In Shabbos, Kuf Nun Aleph Omed Beis. So we see that this majesty that the Almighty exercises over the world, not only does he exercise over the world, but it's apparent in the world, and he has imbued man with part of this majesty. And this is not only in this world, but this is in the next world also. Physically, it's only in this world. Physically, Allah offer Toshu, you shall return to the dust. But spiritually, the soul that man possesses, that remains a king and that returns to the Almighty. And this kingship gives man a nitzchias, an eternity. And this is what Rashi tells us in Parshas Breishis, in Perek Bey Zayin. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofer min Adama. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed man from the dust of the earth, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul, Vayi Adam LeNefesh Chayim, and man became a living being. Vayitzer, formed, this is spelled with two yuds. Yud Yud Tzadik Resh. Before, when it stated that the Almighty created animals, Vayitzer, Vayotzer. There, it is written with one yud, Yotzer. What is the difference? Why by man was man created with two yuds? So Rashi tells us, Shtei Yitzires. Man was created a double creation. Yitzire Leilam Azev, Yitzire Letchias Amesim. Built into man was a creation for this world and a creation for the next world. Do not make an error to think that man was created for this world and then a new creation will be for the next world. No. Man was created with two inner forces. One force lives on this world and then ceases. The other force continues to live forever. And these are the two yuds. Shtei Yetziras, man was created a double creation. One creation for this world, and the other for Tchias HaMeisi. Aval b'behema, but an animal, she'eno emeres ledin, he is not called to task for what he does, therefore there is no reward or punishment, there is no world to come. Le'nichta b'yetziras shtei yudin, it is only written one yud. One creation. Man was created for this world. Excuse me, animal was created for this world. Man was created for this world physically and spiritually for the next world. So even though that we see his bottle Malchusay, that his empire ceases, it's only in the physical world. But the soul, he will continue to live forever. For this reason, one must be very careful how he views this world and how he views himself and other people. We are not speaking here about some man-made type of machine which is full of flaws and imperfections. We are speaking here of the handiwork of the master of the world. If one would view a Rembrandt with respect, then how much more respect must one have towards the smallest element of this world or another person? And how much more respect should one have for himself? That imbued in him is the seal of the king. And not only that, but he was given part of the king's majesty himself, and he was made a king. And therefore he was given his image, where every part of his body declares and speaks of the image of the Almighty. And further yet, Israel was separated even more so and given the Torah. And this creation was not for this world alone. It was for eternity, endless. So from here we must learn to respect what a man is. Unlimited, without bounds, the spiritual energies, what one can achieve in this world. It is for that reason that the Maharal writes in Feresh Yisrael that man was not given a Shema Etzem. He was not given a proper name. When the world was created, all of the wildlife of the world was brought one by one to Adam Arishan, the first man. And he, with his penetrating wisdom, he looked at each animal and he could see in it its particular character and makeup. And he gave it a name, a Shema Etzem, a name which would describe the very essence and character and nature of that particular animal. The Ari, lion, this is the descriptive label of what a lion is. The Ze'ev, the wolf, and so forth. When it came to man, man was called Odom. Kimino Adomo, because he was taken from the earth. You would think that if every animal had their own name, how much more so man? Why was he only called Odom? Because he came from the Adomo, from the earth. Because the animal, as you see it, that's it. It's no more and it's no less. And therefore you can give it a name, Hashem Meir Ala Etzim. You can describe the essence of it. Man is not that way. Man is unlimited. No name can be given to man, because then it would limit his potential. It would harness his energies. And man has unlimited energies. And therefore, he was merely called on that what he came from. Just as the earth has unlimited energies, earth is entirely potential. What will be done with it, that's what it'll be. So is it with man. So one should realize that what he does in this world is for eternity. And one also should realize what one single act of man can be. The Gemara brings in Baba Basra that the acts of the righteous are even greater. The Almighty considers them even greater than his acts of building the Beis Hamikdash. They are compared to the Almighty's acts of the creation of the world. These are the powers of man. And even more so, one act of man, one thought of man, can go from one end of the world to the other because of the great abilities and powers that he was imbued with. This we see from the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Gemara brings on Daf Yud Zayin. Omro Olov Al Elazar Ben Dudoi. There was a man by the name of Elazar Ben Dudoi. The Gemara refers to him as Rebbe. He was not a Rebbe. He was not a Talmud Chochem. The fact is, we'll see, he was far, far from a Talmud Chochem. He was a very, very wicked person. Why does the Gemara refer to him as Reb Lezer? We'll see in a minute. This was a man so imbued with incest and immoralities that he spent an entire life seeking out every prostitute of the world. One time he heard of a woman who had a great reputation in this field, and she lived far away on the other sides of the sea, Bekroche Ayom, the distant lands of the sea. And her fee was that of a great sum of money. So imbued with this degrading desire, he went and he took a bag of silver and he crossed 7 rivers to seek her out until finally he found her. So this tells us what kind of person this was and what type of life he led. When he was with her, he heard said that Elazar ben Dodoi ain mekabli naisei b'tshuva. Elazar, the son of Dodoi, he will never be accepted with tshuva. He cannot repent. Too far gone. When he heard this, this struck him. This shocked him terribly. And all of a sudden he started thinking, here his whole life has gone by. What has he done? He's ruined. And now the next world, he's lost there too. So he went and he sat between the mountains and the hills, and he called out to the mountains and he said, go plead to the Almighty, Rachamim, mercy for me. And they said, we have our own problems. We have to plead for ourselves. You must plead for yourself. And then he went and he spoke to the hills and they told him the same thing. And then he spoke to the land and he told him the same thing. And then to the heavens, Bakshu alai rachamim, plead for me, and they told him the same thing. We have our own problems. You have to plead for yourself. When he saw there was no hope left and his life was a complete ruination, he put his head between his knees, and he wept and he wept until he died. A voice from heaven came down the Omro and said, Rabbi Elazar ben Dodoi, mezumen lechai elom habo. Rabbi Elazar, the son of Dodoi, has been accepted in the world to come. When Rebbe Yehuda Anossi, was the great Rebbe of the Mishnah. He is the one who organized the entire writing of the Mishnah. When he heard this, what happened? Bocha, he wept. And he said, Yesh keina ilomai bekama shonim, v'yesh keina ilomai b'sho achas. Some acquire their world to come only after many, many years of toil and labor. Others can acquire a world to come, b'sho achas, in 1 hour, in 1 minute. V'yomar Rebbe leidayin lebalei tshuva shemekabli neison, ele shekori neisei Rebbe. And we see that not only is the Almighty willing to accept the balei tshuva, those who return to him, but he was called Rebbe. The Baskol said Rebbe, Reb Lezer. Therefore the Gemara refers to this person as Rebbe. He had become a tzaddik. He had become a righteous person in that minute. world to come. This is the greatest achievement of man in this world. This is a life's undertaking. Yet in 1 minute, or in 1 hour, this man acquired it. So we see that not only does man have a potential to achieve in this world, but even the smallest act of man can go from one world to the other. We'll conclude with the following chazal that tells us that there are four groups that will not have the pleasure of the presence of the Almighty. Sigamora Mesech to Seita, Membeis Omer Aleph. In these four groups, one are those who speak falsehood, which we can understand, because everything we're speaking about is based on the truth of the Almighty. Another are those who speak Lashon Hara, which we can understand. We've given long shurim in that Lashon Hara is the greatest sin that one can commit. And another is those who give false flattery, which is also shkorim, untruth. And the other is the katlei tzoni, those who scoff, those who occupy themselves with insignificant things in this world. Idle talk, idle undertakings, those who reject and scoff, these are the leitzim. Why the leitzim? What is their great avera? What are they doing? They're not bothering anyone. Why will they not deserve the presence of the Almighty? The Vilna Gaon says in his Pirush on Mishlei that Litzonos is the complete antithesis to Torah. How do we know this? Because David HaMelech said at the beginning of Tehillim, Ashrei Ha'ish, fortunate is the person David HaMelech said, fortunate is the person who does not sit with those who occupy themselves with nothingness and idleness and merely scoff. They make satires or they're cynical. But Torah is what he desires. And in Torah he meditates day and night. So when David HaMelech said that he should not sit between the leitzim, but you should occupy yourself with Torah. So from here the Vilna Gaon learns that these are the two contraries, the two antitheses. And why is it? The Torah is the master plan of the world. And as we explained, there is not one thing in this world that was created levatolo, in vain. Everything in this world carries the emblem of the Almighty. And everything in this world is uplifted by the Malchus of the Almighty and has unlimited wisdom and potential. And this is what the Torah declares. Because the Torah says, Be Yistakel. Kodesh Baruch Hu looked at me, studied me, and from me he created the Torah. The Leitzonim, they are just the opposite. Instead of taking the smallest molecule and show what it is, that it is an ocean, a mountain, a world, they take an ocean, a mountain, an entire world, and they make nothing. And therefore, Masechet Sanhedrin tells us that the Mesachek Bikuvia, people who spend their days playing cards, gambling, this is how they make their living. The Apostle Eidus, not allowed to testify as witnesses. Mora says, why not? If they steal, all right. If they don't steal, why not? She'enam asukin b'yishuvun shel olam, because they do not occupy themselves with the building of a world. Man was placed here for a purpose, and man was given the powers of a king, and he was given a world to work at. And this is the Almighty's gift to him. If one fruit is given to man, and he rejects it, he will have to give testimony on it. So how much more so if life was given to him, if a world was given to him? Einam asukim yeshivun sha'ilam, they do not build the world, but instead they occupy themselves with nothingness. The Talmidei Chachomim, Nikra Benoi, the Talmidei Chachomim are called in the Mishnah and Mikvos the builders. Why? The Gemara says, She'eskim bebinyonei shel olam, because they occupy themselves with the building of a world. And this is why it is such an antithesis. This is why in our world today there is no respect for anything. Because respect comes from something that is above you, something that is important, and there is no importance. You have today all kinds of theories that the world created itself. Today, if a person dies, if the body has to be buried, this is a discussion. This can be a discussion, this can be a court case. Why? What's a body? What value does it have? Today, if there's an embryo, it can be destroyed, why not? What value does it have? What is it? If one nation wants to go at war with another nation, it's over a piece of land or of an island or whatever it might be, so there'll be 1,000 people. There'll be 100,000 people lost. So what? What value is it? What value do people have? More suicides than ever. Why? What value is to life? What value does the world have? We are living in an era of the Meshiv Leitzim, where a person can occupy himself with something that has no value whatsoever and can convince him otherwise. What's the difference? And this is the complete antithesis to Torah. Where the world can take, the nations of the world today can take human life and make nothing out of it, majesty of the Almighty takes one atom, one molecule, and declares, "Shekol ma sheborosim lebore borosia lelichvedi." What I created was created for my honor. This has my seal on it. This has my imprint on it. This is the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this comes to the world again on Rosh Hashanah. And this is why the world has such an elevation. Because without this, then it would be a world with no value, with no majesty, with no importance, with no reason, with no direction. And therefore it comes in the seventh month. Because the seventh month, that's the dimension, that's Mechaber, that joins our physical world with the spiritual world. Just as Shabbos joins the physical world with the spiritual world, Tishrei joins this world with the Almighty. And therefore it has a great isalus, a great mala, an uplifting. And this is our task. The Gemara says, what is the task of Yisrael in this world of darkness that we live, in this world of satire, or of cynicism, or of leitzim? What is this task? The task is to declare the Malchus Hashem, which is the task of the Almighty, of the Klal Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah. To declare it for ourselves and for the world. The essence of the Jew is the testimony that the Almighty is the King of this world. It's His match, it's His world. He's imbued this world with His powers. But maybe we zeicher to aksiva v'chasima teva, that we should all be inscribed in the book of life, in the book of reward, and we should see shalom on the world and the return of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus and his Torah to the world. B'mehirah v'yameinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.